Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
Hallelujah. You are a star in God's reality. Reality show, Glory to God. You are the star, Praise the Lord. And the reality show ends at the rapture. So the star cannot get lost before the rapture. In any way. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God is good. Now some of us are beginning to learn certain things about how to go into the next level of our financial grace. Praise the Lord. Things which sometimes, I don't talk about because I'm not that bold when it comes to money. But in other things I'm bold. But you see, sometimes you have to help certain people. Now this week somebody came to me and they had something very legitimate, and I can tell the legitimacy of it, and I can tell that this is God's purpose for you, and I can tell that it is time for you to enter into that thing. But certain things have to happen for you to enter into that sort of thing. Now, somebody has a deal in which, okay, I won't give you details, so I'll just say a deal. And they're expecting to get billions of shillings. But you come with a seed of 100,000. Now, I can tell when a seed of 100,000 is sacrificial, and I can tell when it is mocking God. Amen? So many people come to me and they give me a liturgy of all your problems. Then I actually give direction and say certain things. And then the person is like, thank you very much, thank you very much. Okay, then. Then puts like a 10K on the table. Now, let me tell you something. Those of you who come to see me. Now, when I know, I can know when 10K is sacrificial. I know it. And I can know when it is mocking the anointing upon my life. So I'll tell you, you put it on the table in office. I'll tell you, put it there. I won't touch it. Then the other people who come actually who need help from me, and they are in genuine need. So I'll give them that money. It will not go through my hands. Like, I'm not a waiter to be tipped. Do you understand? Go and tip waiters. You cannot mock the anointing on my life when I know that you are in a position to do. Now, I know when even 2K is sacrificial. Do you understand? These things have nothing to do with the flesh. I'm not judging this by the flesh. I know. Now, I also know when somebody feels that. And then I know nothing is going to happen. So even no matter what I do or pray, nothing is going to happen. I know it. Because there are principles. Now let me tell it to you again. Money responds to money. Money does not respond to prayer. Do you think you're the only ones who have had financial need? Every time I want to move to a bigger thing, I get a big seed and go and sow it. That's how I do it. I don't pray. If you're sick, come, I pray for you. No problem. You understand? And even when people come when they are sick and they say, I'm giving a seed, I say, I don't want the seed. Because I don't want you to attach the healing to some, you understand? Healing is free for everybody. So I say, you come back another time when you've come to give a seed. You remember there was a lady who one time came with hepatitis something, hepatitis B. They said, come on, pray for me, what I have. I said, no, take your seed, I don't want it. I prayed for her, she got healed. Okay? And she came and gave a testimony. Now, if you want to sow another time, you come and sow. But I don't want to attach things which are free to what. But if your issue is money, it needs money. Now, and so I tell this guy, the people you're competing with, if you're doing something that is taking you into the billions or sometimes into the millions of dollars, the people you're competing with, the people of the world, they even go and sacrifice their sons. But for you, you have money, 50K, and you think it is not going to work. They will take that deal and you'll work for them and you'll be subservient to them. Not because your God is not powerful, but they understand spiritual principles of sacrifice. Do you understand? Yes. Now, if you're in that realm of, you know, and then, like, even 500k can be a tip, I can tell. Even a million can be a tip. And if I tell it is that, I will not touch it. I'll tell you, put it down there. Because you cannot mock the anointing on my life. And then somebody comes, says, man of God, I have problems, rent. I say, take that money. Praise the Lord. So now there is a trick. If my Johanna does not go into my hands, know that I have. If I say, put it on the table, you just know I've kusala word you. You know, some people have to learn these things. You imagine, you know somebody is going someplace. You know, you can see somebody. You see he's going to be, like, do you know, it hurts me when you know somebody has the ability to go and enter into big wealth, but you don't want to tell them what they must do because you think they will, you know, eh? So you just say, okay, I pray for you, what, you know, and I do those religious prayers, and I say, go, and I know it's not going to happen. And it does not happen. Now, those people don't come back. Because they say, that guy, man, his things don't work. You go. There are people for whom they work every day. Praise the Lord. Eh? And I know I have testimonies. There are people for whom they work. Some of them I don't even tell you. Because they will get you jealous. Eh? Praise the Lord. Yeah. So, now some people are beginning to learn how to go into the next level. Like, I have seen people who are in faith. And sometimes with little money, and you somebody gives it, and you know this is faith. You remember Jesus and the woman at the, where he says, this woman has given more than the rest. And he knows that there's something different. Then of course there are people who are throwing in more money, and he knows where their mind is, where their heart is. So this thing is based on a system by God. Now in the demonic world, they will tell you, go and bring this. Here nobody is going to tell you that. Amen? Because whether you bring it or not, I will be okay. My family will be fed. Do you understand? Now, as long as I practice what I'm telling you, I put it into practice, I will have money when I need it because I know how to get it. Do you understand? And I will get it without you. So now, like this, sometimes you have to put these things because for people to understand that this is not, no, we need money for this, we need money for this. So people come and say, man, you know, that guy. I remember some time, a long time ago, I was preaching at Zoe Fellowship, and there's an old woman who came to see the prophet. Then she found me. Then I talked about giving. She was very offended. She went and said, that prophet is fake. He talked about money from beginning to end. Like people get offended when you talk about money. But let me tell you, where do you go where you don't spend money? When I learned that money does not respond to prayer, that liberated me. So anything that has anything to do with money, I get money and I go and sow. Anything that has anything to do with money, I want this, that, the other. My financial thing, my finances are going down and I sense that there is something not right. I don't go and say, pray for me. No, I just take a seed and go and it turns around. Just like that. Praise the Lord. Okay. Now, as long as you understand that there is no spiritual exchange until there is a natural exchange. Do you understand? In the spirit world, even if you went to a witch doctor, if he doesn't tell you to bring something, he's lying to you. There has to be an exchange in the natural. For there to be an exchange in the spiritual. Amen? Okay, now you know that. But if you're offended, get lost. Like, how? Now, do you know, I meet people in Rukala, right? All of them say, I don't know what's happening now. You will rent a manager, what? And you know, even if you just got something small, and put God to test, and say, let me see what God, you know, can do for me. Bam. There it will be. Amen? But you're in money lenders, going in and out, they are calling you, you're calling them, you're doing what? You jump from one money lender to the other, then you switch off your phone, now they have messed you up because you can't even change your phone, your whatever, SIM cards. So you're thoroughly messed up. So either you switch off your phone and nobody contacts you, or you have to pay that money render. But there is a better way. And I told you the better way. Because I told you I once lived that life. Praise the Lord. I once did what? I lived that life. And there is a way I knew, I understood how to get out of it. These promises of God work. So I understood that I have a lot of financial baggage on me. I have to pay so and so, I have to pay so and so, I'm in debt here, I'm in debt. And you people know these things, eh? Because you live those lives. Not all of you, eh? But even those who come here pretending to be okay, at the end of the day. So one day I'm saying this story again deliberately, even if I said it recently. So one day I got a fairly big lump sum of money. But it was still not enough to meet all my needs and take me on. And I felt clearly the Lord telling me, get 10 million and take it and sow it. Now 10 million would knock off a good percentage of my problems. But then afterwards, I had nothing else to look to. Because you know, when you're deceived, when you have some payment you're expecting, you understand? Eh? Now there it is, it has come. Now after this, there's nothing else you're expecting. You're on God's good humor. So I said, now, since this is not enough, and I felt it clear inside me, I went and withdrew the money and went and sold it. It was a painful decision. But let me tell you, it was the beginning of a different lifestyle. Because in a matter of 3 or 4 months, I'd paid off all my debts. I don't even know how. And for the first time in my life, I had money, 5 million on me, and there was nobody who was taking a claim to it. It was mine. To be used the way I want. Do you understand? Ngatekulia banja. But it all turned around with that one decision. Now, if I'm lying, the Lord is my witness. You know, some people say, the Lord is my witness. I went and gave that money and it turned around my situation completely. I remember one time I was going for Christmas and money was pursuing me like a problem. I needed to change the tires of my car. And as soon as you even think that I need to buy new tires, the money for it comes. Then I needed, I was traveling to Fort Portal, then coming back to Kampala, then going to Hoima. Then I had so many trips. As soon as I even think, money. Now, when I thought I'd gone through the Christmas well and I was coming back on fast, then I go to the bank and I find a lot of money which I wasn't expecting. Then when I say, where is this money come from? Then somebody from Mumbai sends me an SMS and said, I sent you my seed. Did you see it? Now, that is God. You understand, eh? That is God. And it turns around at one point when you decide, okay, I have tried everything else, I'm going to try God. But I'm not here to preach about that. But I just want to liberate some of you. Eh? Because if people you're competing with are sacrificing their children and you're bringing 100K, they are going to get the deal. There was a case like that in the Bible. But I will not go there. Praise the Lord. Now, this week I was reading something which interested me about the Queen of England saying that she descended from Prophet Muhammad. Did anybody read that? You didn't? Go and check it out. The Queen of England saying that she descended from Prophet Muhammad. And actually, Muslim scholars were the ones who were claiming that, and they were affirming it, and they had some kind of genealogy to end up there. Now that's interesting because one of her four ancestors, another queen of England called Victoria, also went and somehow managed to prove that she descends from the line of David. King David. So now, and that means she also descends from the line of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus descended from David. Now this is becoming interesting, isn't it? So we have a group of people who descended from both Jesus and Muhammad. Go and look it out. And I'd forgotten those things a bit until it stood out for me. And I was like, what? What is this? Now, sometime, the last time I was here, the last time I preached, I told you how I am convinced that the Antichrist is coming from the nation of Germany. You remember? But sometime, a lot earlier, in a dream, the Lord, you know those dreams where somebody comes and talks to you and you don't know who is talking to you? And that's almost all you hear. I had a voice telling me, investigate the relationship between the British royal family and Germany. And it was the Lord. So I went and investigated, what is the relationship between the British royal family and Germany? Now, then I realized that the British royal family actually comes from Germany. They are Germans. And now, you know, these things happen. You go and check it out. Eh? Go and check it out if you think I'm... You know, what happens is, sometimes royal families of kingdoms, for instance, the royal families of Bunyoro, Toro, and even Buganda are from the north. True? Yes. That's why you hear names like Oyo, Wat, all those things. Eh? Satito, Winyi, and Wat was the king of Bunyoro, and so on. So, they are ruling over people, but they actually descend from a certain, you know, for a different tribe. Eh? Now, then I realized that before 1917, what is now called the House of Windsor, which is where the British royal family, their tree, was called the House of Saxe-Coburg, which is a German name. Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, which is a German name. And they carried that name on from way back, earlier centuries. And actually, they were previously called the House of Hanover. You know, Hanover is a city in Germany. So, it's during the First World War, actually precisely in 1917, when the sentiments in England against Germany became very strong. English people started hating Germans strongly. And then, it became unrealistic for somebody who is from the royal family in England to carry German names. They carried German names all the way up to 1917. To carry German names and almost German lineage. So that's when it was changed from the House of Saxe-Coburg-Gotha to the House of Windsor by King George V. Now, being that as it is, the royal family from where? From Germany. And they have been, and the kind of split, actually that German monarchy ruled almost the whole of Europe. And it's just kind of split and into those small monarchies, Denmark and all that. But there's a strong interlinkage between all of them. And I discovered that the Prime Minister at that time, a man called David Lloyd George, when he was going to meet King George, his namesake, but he was the Prime Minister of Britain, he was quoted as having said, when he's going to meet the King of England, of the United Kingdom, he was quoted as having said, let me go and see what this little German has to say to me. That is there, you will get it even in their nose. So, they are from Germany. And now, they can prove, in quotes, that they descended both from King David and from Muhammad. That makes them, because they cannot come and be the Antichrist, unless you prove that you descended somehow from King David. Because the Antichrist has to be believed by the Jews to be the Christ. You remember what Jesus said? I came in the name of the Father, you did not believe me, but someone else will come in his own name, and him you will believe. Okay? Now he's talking about the one who comes, pretending to be him. So he has to come from that lineage. At least purport to come from that lineage and convince everybody that he comes from that lineage. Now, if the queen is a descendant of Muhammad and her mother, some whatever, was also a descendant of King David of the Bible, then it goes without saying that all her children and even grandchildren are descendants of both of those people. Amen? Now that's important because today somehow I was in office and I was just listening to some things. And I was listening to a guy called Tim Cohen, who is a Jew, and wrote a book called The Antichrist and a Cup of Tea. I've spoken about that before. And Tim Cohen, this time, I read the tidbits of his book, but I've never heard him in an interview. So the first time I was hearing him, and he actually was on Sid Roth, It's Supernatural, you know that. So I sat down and listened to him, and he was saying how he said actually that the Lord told him to investigate the Antichrist. And he said for the most part, and I agree with him on this, he said most people, when they are trying to find who the Antichrist is, they look for a big political figure and attach that Antichrist thing to him. You understand? So you've had so many presidents of America saying, you know, Ronald Reagan, and you know, he had three names which all had 6-6, Ronald Wilson Reagan. So 6-6. But of course, we know the Antichrist is not going to come from America. We know that. Then Henry Kissinger, who was a very strong Secretary of State for America in the 1970s, was a very popular Antichrist. Actually, many Bible prophecy teachers have been through like 70 Antichrists. And all of them are now dead. And so they couldn't be Antichrist. So you see that they start from some political figure, then they work their way downwards to, and then try to find scripture to justify it, which is how so many people get lost. Because, even in doctrines, you know, somebody comes and says, the Bible says that you should save. I say, where does it say it? Then he starts looking for scriptures. Let me tell you, I can make the Bible say anything. Do you understand? I've had homosexuals saying things which they purport the Bible says. And they derive things about what, about then this, then what. Crap. So if you really want to make the Bible say something, you will make it say something. But it is better to read it with an open mind, and then it says something, and then it enlightens. You use it for enlightenment. You know the parable of, you know how they say it? How a drunkard uses a street pole? They say a drunkard uses the street pole, the light. You know that pole of the street which has light, for support rather than illumination. So that's how some people use the Bible. They come up with their theories, then they go to the Bible for support, rather than using the Bible for enlightenment. So now, this gentleman said for him, he wanted to start from the Bible. What does it say about 666? What does it say? What is the system that he's talking about? And work his way. I'm just telling you what I was listening to. And it was fascinating. So, this guy says, so he worked his way from, you know, that Revelation 13, especially verse 17 and 18, where it says it's a number of a man. Start from verse 16. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads, that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name. Now, you see, it says a mark, then it says the name of the beast or the number of his name. Now, there are three things there. And now, when you start splitting those small things, then you get yourself into a position where you actually get revelation. Now, so there is a mark which people will get, which we all know is the mark of the beast. Okay? But the mark is not just a mark. It's also a system by which you have to buy and sell. But if you do not have it, you cannot do any of those. But it's not more than just a system, but then it's also a number of a name. A name of a person. Now go ahead, verse 18. Here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is, you know. Now, so you start from there and say, first of all, it's a number of a man. And you know, 6 is the number of a man. And I told you before, 6 is the number of man. You know, 7 is the number of God or godliness or divinity, really. And the other numbers, you know. Now, when 7 appears 3 times, that is the perfection of godliness. And that only appears in the Bible, in the New Jerusalem. 7 3 times. But sometimes, somebody told me the other day, sat for an exam, and he dreamt when he had got 76. Now that means, okay, the exam, the whole thing had something to do with money. Because when you dream, you're sitting at test, an exam, and it is math, usually it has something to do with finance. Okay, with numbers. Do you understand? So if you dream you're sitting a science exam, that's something different. You won't ask me what, eh? I will not tell you now, eh? Now, but, so, he sat a math exam and got 76. Now, that means, you are very close to getting to your divine prosperity. Your 76 is one less than 77. Now, 77 would be the perfect. You can't get 777. That is only God. Now, 666 is the ultimate of humanity. Human achievement. 666. Six times three means, like, that is the topmost a human being can be. And that's what the Antichrist will be. Okay? Now, but more than that. Now, so this gentleman, Tim Cohen, go and look for that interview. You have YouTube, you have what? I want you to become researchers, not just people who come here and listen to things. Eh? So, Tim Cohen says that. So, he starts investigating all those things. And what the scripture says about the Antichrist, about the beast, about, you know, the unicorn. Then he notices that there is one person in the world whose coat of arms has all those things wrapped in one. And that is Prince Charles. And now we know Prince Charles descended, in quotes, from Muhammad, because he's the son of the Queen of England, and descended from King David. You understand? That's, of course, controversial, but now they are somehow proved. Even Muslim scholars say, yeah, the queen descended from Muhammad. So now, which means also his son descended from Muhammad and from all those. And now the guy comes out and his coat of arms, I want you to go and write these things down and go and research them. Eh? Prince Charles' coat of arms. Eh? It has, you know, a red dragon somewhere in the right-hand corner, and it says in a language which is not English that he gives us power. Now, the scripture says that the Antichrist, his power comes from the dragon. Now, the red dragon is the devil. Okay? And we know the Antichrist's power comes from where? From the devil. Now, but the other things. Now, of course, in the Bible, it talks about the dragon, then it talks about the red dragon. The red dragon is the devil. Pure and simple, the devil. But a dragon can also mean China. Can be symbolic if it does not add red. But now here there is the red dragon. Then there are all the things at his coronation when he was crowned as the heir of the throne. I think about 1957 or something. Go and look up these things. And they are very interesting things. Now this gentleman even says that he calculated in Bible Roman numerals the name Prince Charles of Wales, both in English and in Hebrew, add up to 666. The calculations are there. Go and look for them. There are so many other interesting things about the whole thing, because he mentions, there's a scripture which, now he's the only one who I've had try, even attempt, to decipher this scripture. I'm not so sure. I'm not saying he's right. Okay, my point is, I'm not in a position to say he's right or wrong. Eh? What I'm saying is, I cannot affirm what he's saying, but it's very interesting. Let us read this scripture and you see. It's in Revelation chapter 17, start from verse 7. But the angel said to me, why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has seven heads and ten horns. First of all, in Revelation chapter 17, verse 1, then one of the seven angels who had seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, come and I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. Waters in prophecy means people. Okay? With whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. This is apostasy. Fornication here means false teaching, apostate teaching. Okay. Now it says, then he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet red beast, which has full names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Now, the seven heads and ten horns continues repeating itself. Verse 3, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which had names full of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Now, you know, the imagery of a woman riding a beast is the image of Europe. You know that, eh? Europa, the woman was called Europa in Greek mythology. There was a woman called Europa, who was so beautiful that the god Zeus loved her. Zeus is like the chief god, or equals devil. They are lower gods, but he's the like chief. Now, who loved her, but she was not interested in him. So what he did is he turned himself into a beast, like as if a cow or some kind of beast like that. And she was plucking flowers from somewhere. And then this cow appeared and she needed to go somewhere. So she sat on it and he rode her away and took her. And when he reached there, he turned into himself and married her. I don't know if forcefully or not, but he married her. Now that Europa is the person after whom the continent of Europe is named. And all of these symbols in Europe have a woman riding a beast. If you look at the European Union Parliament in Brussels, there is a statue of a woman riding a beast. If you look at the European Union headquarters in the city of Strasbourg in France, a woman riding a beast. If you look at their stamps, woman riding a beast. Their money, woman riding a beast. Everything around Europe is woman riding a beast. Which is why I'm shocked when anybody thinks the Antichrist is coming from anywhere else apart from Europe. It has to be there. Like the imagery is right there. I saw a woman riding on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Okay, now let's go to verse 7. But the angel said to me, why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has 7 heads and 10 horns. The beast that you saw was and is not, was and is not, and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. Now, there is a beast here who is a person who once was and no longer is at that time, but will come back and he will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. He's talking about the Antichrist, okay? Who was an, you know? And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Now he's talking about I've spoken to you about the spirit of the Antichrist, the son of perdition, okay? The people who were called the son of perdition, it started from way back, from Nimrod, that spirit. And it has manifested through so many different people. Nebuchadnezzar, Haman, in the time of Esther, all the way down to, other people in our more contemporary times, like Napoleon, who carried the spirit of the Antichrist. And I told you last time even about Hitler, okay? The same spirit. But it will come, and now even Judas Iscariot was called the son of perdition. Now, that is a very unique title. That means somebody who has been inhabited by the spirit of the devil. You understand? It's not just a person who is tempted. Now, Jesus called Peter Satan. Get behind me, Satan. You remember that? But Satan is different. Satan is like a tempter. So Jesus is saying, I'm going to the cross. Somebody is saying, no, don't go to the cross. He says, get behind me, Satan. But now, the son of perdition means that spirit has taken you over completely. Now, very few people have qualified for that. Okay, the next will be, and those who dwell on the earth will marvel. Okay, let's go to the next verse. Here is the mind which has wisdom. The 7 heads are the 7 mountains which the woman sits on. Now, this speaks about the city of Rome. The 7 mountains speaks about the city of Rome. And it has to come out of there. And everything, you know, the European Union was started by the Rome Agreement in 1957. You know that. So, it comes from the city that is Rome. Okay? Now, of course, there are so many cities which claim to have 7 hills, including Kampala. But at the time that John wrote this, Rome was the city of 7 hills. Kampala was not even a city. It was a Rusuku, I don't know, whatever it was. There are 7 kings. 5 have fallen, 1 is, and the other has yet to come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. Now, keep it there. Keep it there. There are 7 different Gentile empires that have ruled the world. I will not go through them. Babylonian, Assyrian, and all those. That's what he's talking about here. And the time, including the Roman. And at the time he wrote this, they were under the Roman That's why he says there are seven. Five have fallen before. Okay. And one is, which means the Roman, which they were under that time. And the other has yet to come. That will be the seventh. The seventh Gentile Empire, which is like the new Rome, which is Europe. Okay. And one is yet to come. He must, and said it must continue. That is the unified Europe. It must continue for a short time. Now go ahead. Verse 11. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth and is of the seven and is going to perdition. Now this is interesting. The beast that is the Antichrist, whom John saw, was and is not. And is himself is the eighth and is of the seven and is going to perdition. Now this scripture confused me thoroughly. Now who can make anything out of that scripture? Now this is, you know, when you first look at it, then first go and have a cup of coffee. Then come back and look at it again, then sleep. Then come back and look at it again. And after 1 month, you've still not gotten anything. After so many cups of coffee and what? So, now this gentleman whom I was listening to, this is what I was trying to tell you. This gentleman whom I was listening to, called Tim Cohen, actually said that he discovered that Europe will have one king again shortly. And he said that king will be Prince Charles. And he noted how the whole world system revolves around the house of Windsor. I know that to be a fact. I remember when I was telling you here about food the other time, how the house of Windsor controls about between 85 and 90% of the world's food. So they can create through companies such as Kegel. You've heard of it, eh? Now, it has subsidiaries like Unilever, Nesso, which produces Nescafe, and all the milk and what. They control all the grains, all the dairy products, all the fertilizer. They control everything. It's in their hands. So if they wanted to create world famine, they can do it. Not what's famine? Or hunger? Is there a difference? No, there is none. Eh? Okay. I was mistaking famine with drought. Eh? Okay. Talking about drought, have you seen how China is creating artificial rain? Real shifting clouds. You go and read. The things that are happening in your world, where people use whatever to shift clouds and take them where they want rain. And it rains there. So if they decide to remove rain from your locality, your maize is in trouble. Anyhow, I was reading it the other day and I was in shock. And I'm told they are producing so many, they measure it in millimeters, eh? Of rain. Okay. The beast that he was and is not and is himself of the eighth and is of the seven and is going to perdition. Now, what they call the Holy Roman Empire, that is the Roman Empire, but with the religious thing, with the Rome thing, okay? With the Catholic Rome thing, started in 800 AD with a man called Charlemagne or Charles the First. Now, he is seen as the father of modern Europe. They call him Charlemagne. He was German. All these things somehow originate from Germany. But he's called Charles the First. And he's the one who, when there were riots between the Catholic Church and the Roman Empire, he decided, let's make one Holy Roman Empire. Okay? Uniting the state and the church. And so he crowned Pope Leo as the... actually, it's the Pope who crowned Charlemagne as the emperor of the Holy Roman Empire. Pope Leo, I think the third, crowned him December 25th, Christmas Day, 800 AD. Now, it started and went all the way 1,000 years with so many different kings. Now, the first king was called Charles the First. Now, when I checked in history, they are actually Charles the First, the Second, the Third, the Fourth, up to the Seventh. By the time it ended in 1806, when they were attacked, when the German whatever was attacked by Napoleon. Charles the First up to the Seventh. Now this man says that the beast will be Charles the Eighth and is of the Seven. Do you now understand what he says? I'm not saying affirming that it's true, but it's the only sense I have made of this thing after so many cups of coffee. Like, it's the only sense I've made of it. There are seven Charleses. Now he's saying that he will be the eighth and he's of the seven. Now, I went and checked my, you know, whatever. I actually really researched this thing up to Britannica, you know, those things. Eh? Man, with things which are written in overhaul. But I realized there are seven Charles, true to fact. Now, if Prince Charles is the eighth and he's of the seven and he's going to perdition, so this guy has a case for Prince Charles being what? The Antichrist. Remember, I told you the Antichrist is coming from Germany and the House of Windsor came from where? Yeah, and now the descending and all that. But he has other things he saw, which I had never noticed, which I saw, that all world leaders who go to the UK don't actually, so many of them don't even meet the Prime Minister. They go to meet Prince Charles. He's the head of the World Conservation, whatever, of the Joint Religious Council, which tries to put Muslims and whatever together. Now you see he's a descendant of both Jesus and is like, he has so many titles and people, and he has managed. And now the reason it fits into what the Bible says is it says he takes the kingdom through like flattery, deceit. He does not come and conquer. So people think that he's weak, you know, and that's what the scripture says in Daniel, that he obtains the kingdom through flatteries. And like, people think he's a nobody, then the next thing they know, he's the man. You understand? So, and now these other people who come with power, and what, they can't be the Antichrist. It does not fit. And by the way, when I realized that, the Antichrist has to have the description of the devil. You understand? The same way that Jesus says, I am the, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know, this is a duplication. Now, the Antichrist has to say, if you've seen me, you've seen the devil. There is no difference. Now, and if you see the devil never comes big time. Eh? Most of his damage is done in a subtle way. Subtle. Now, let me tell you, by the way, people don't understand the word deception. Eh? Deception. It's just that the Lord protects people because he knows we love him and so on. Eh? And then he will let some people go there because he knows for them. But somebody told me, okay, I'll tell you where. Prophet Elvis told me that one day he's taken and he meets high-powered demons. And they tell him, now you see how deception works. Eh? They tell him, no. We actually love what you're doing. Eh? You go ahead. They said, what do you mean? I said, hey, you mean we are fighting? You think we are fighting? You know, we are in the same whatever. We're the same, what? So there's that saying? No. It's just that you Christians misunderstood this thing. Eh? You think that the devil is your enemy. The devil isn't your enemy. Actually, like, you know, we did what? Then he said, like, even the fall of Satan. He said, we just had a small misunderstanding with God. And we are going to get back together. And now he gives a version of the whole creation and the fall story, which is 95% true, but with a little deception. And it is so confusing. If you are not grounded, you're finished. Like deceit. Do you understand? Eh? You cannot be deceived unless somebody tells you some truth. I'll give you an example. Let's say if you're a girl and a man deceives you. Eh? He has to come in a certain way, which shows that he's for you and what, you know. But now, it's easy for us to fight to... If the battle lines are drawn, we know the devil is our enemy. We know we belong here. That's easy. You cannot be deceived. Eh? But now if the battle lines are, no. We actually have the same word. So you think, you people misunderstood. We had like a small misunderstanding with God. Eh? And you see, he's good. We are going to make up at the end. Eh? But you know what? Then suddenly you get into a state of confusion. Do you understand? Eh? And it is very dangerous. And people don't understand how powerful people have been deceived. Like Eve, who was there with God and talks with her every day. But the guy just comes and twists something small. Eh? And says, no, it's not like that. It's like this. And then it makes sense. Do you understand? Eh? Actually, some of that deception, when you come back, even God just wipes it away from your mind. Because it can confuse you. Now, do you know people? I've known people. Now, like that guy, Rick Warren, who wrote The Purpose-Driven Life. A book which sold like 30 million copies and was, helped so many people, didn't it? along the way the guy got deceived. Now if you listen to him, you'll be in shock. Like he comes and spews things and you're like, and you say, how can, you know? Now let me tell you, that's why people have to be prepared for success. The higher you go, the more deadly the weapons against you. Do you understand? Now, right now, you see where we are. Eh? Right now, up in the air, there are winds which are moving at 100 miles an hour. Now, if you went up there, they would sweep you, and they are not there because of you. They were there all along. You just went and encountered them. But as long as you're here, you don't even know what's there. Now, when success comes in droves, like you have to be prepared. Do you know that I think one of the, apart from the Bible, I don't think there's any other book that has sold more. I'm not so sure about that. But I'm just saying. Because I looked at some of the most selling books, and nobody get to go to the number of tens of millions that Purpose Driven Life got to. Now you enter into, before you were a pastor of like a small church, and you know you knew the Lord. Then you enter into a level of success, and you go to where those currents are. You see, even planes, if you take like a small 8-seater plane up there, it will be torn into pieces. Now it has to know where its altitude is. And as long as it flies at its altitude, it is safe. Now if the guy says, the other ones are also planes. Then you start soaring higher. Then people see pieces of plane on the ground. You just get there and you're torn apart by the winds. Now, the winds did not come for you, but the winds were there. You just went and found them there. And they were there all along. Now, sometimes people don't understand that even success, even in money and all that, you have to be prepared for it. Because it can come, you'll get elevated to a certain level. If you are not careful, now the devil sees you as what? Big target. And you become in serious trouble. Okay, I'm not saying that, you know, but that's why people tell me that, you know, these things we've been talking about, when is it going to come? When is it going to come? Prepare yourself. David took 13 years preparing himself. Not 13, actually. 20 years preparing himself to be king. That's why he was king and was stable. Saul took a few hours. And when he got there, he became a nuisance. You understand? And he ended up with a witch after to bring up Samuel for him. So these levels of I saw that guy of Purpose Driven Life and I was in shock. I was in shock because he wrote a book which is doctrinally sound, a very good book. But then now the guy is into new age, is into what? And I see these people, some of these things, even you see musicians and what, at this level when you're singing your songs here, you're not a target for anything serious. Eh? So you'll be there and say, Ankore de virunji naimba, Ankore de virunji naimba. Then you go and produce a song which becomes a world hit. Now suddenly the ball game has changed. Do you understand? Eh? So you have to be grounded. That's why sometimes even, like, I think even God does us good by first keeping us there. First, you know, stay there. And now the training that you have to go through to be ready for that level. Sometimes if you even tell it to people, like some guy was telling me the other day, and he's a finance prosperity guy, the things he went through, and I wanted to cry. Because they are very sad. But you see, God puts you through that because when you get there after you've been through that, you're strong. You're like David. Now you think David... The guy says that I would have fainted if I had not believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That means you're hammered left, right, and center. And you say, is this ever going to happen? God said, I'm going to be king. Is it ever going to happen? He said, but I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That is before I die. Now, by the time somebody says that, I would have lost heart and say, Mbivud them. But I believed because... By the time a king says that, you know that everything is working against you and God is looking at you, trying to strengthen you for where you are going. Praise the Lord. Anyhow, how did I get there? So some of these things, now you think, now when I see somebody deceived, because deception is not, there are people of course who will give up. And the devil does not apply deception if he can just show you some money and you get lost. And like you go there. And there are people who are at that level. There are people who something small offends you. Can you imagine what that preacher said? Well, Uchi, then you go. Now, for you, they don't even need to deceive you. You're very easy pickings. But then there are others whose heart is firm. And now those ones need to be deceived. And now the level, and the higher you go, the more, man, it becomes dangerous. So you find big time people. Something small, pew, is off. Like I read William Branham. Okay, I'll give you an example. There's a guy called Robert Slidell. You remember him? I Saw Heaven. That guy, it starts with what? He seemed to have an issue against women. Like, wow, you women, you think you can mess me up? You're even ugly, what? Now, the man is preaching. It's as if he has beef with women. But you know, sometimes people be like that because they are tempted. So somebody comes to you to pray for you because, like, a beautiful girl comes to be prayed for and they say, you think you can mess me up? Like what? Eh? Don't think that your beauty is going to mess me up. It has already messed you up. That is the clearest sign that you're messed up. Because, I mean, is it her fault that she's beautiful? Pray for her. But you see, the guy now started, so you'd start talking, women are what? You know, you people are what? What the seed of what? That's why even what? Then he had doctrines of how women have messed up the world. Eh? From the beginning, from Eve, and say, what doctrine? Do you know what happened? The next thing, the guy was a homosexual. Now, if you're, like, you know, there is a certain deception. If you're a man and you cannot even acknowledge that woman is beautiful, there is something wrong with you. That doesn't mean you do anything, eh? But you acknowledge the wonders of the Lord. Eh? Like, that, because otherwise there's something wrong with you. You know, some woman can say, what's wrong with men? They are only looking at outward appearance and what? I said, good. You leave us alone. Leave us alone. Praise the Lord. Yes. Because the Bible says when Adam woke up from his sleep and saw Eve, he said, wow, she was beautiful. So God made her to be beautiful. And the man sees and appreciates. Now, if you miss that simple thing, like that guy, you start abusing women, you're all fake, all you women. But you're, the guy ended up messed up. Eh? Praise the Lord. So, yeah. So we appreciate what? Yeah, the wonders of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's go back to Prince Charles. Now, other things, it was this, okay, this is what this guy is saying. But then I also noticed some things. Prince Charles is the only man who has had a statue made for him. And it was made in South America somewhere, in Brazil. I showed this thing sometime. You remember how many people were there when I was talking about these things? Okay, number of you. Like, it was made in Brazil, and Prince Charles is standing with wings like an angel. And down, there is a group, a confused world. Eh? Guys who are confused, one is holding a bottle of beer like this and what? Eh? Like, guys, what beer? Why are you saying something? Some guy is looking confused, and he's standing on top of them. And the statue has on top of it, Savior of the World. Go and check it out if you're Savior of the World. Now, so they called him to unveil his own statue. Now, of course, you know in Revelation it says that they will build a statue for the Antichrist. You remember that, eh? Okay, let's read it for those who don't. Where is it? Revelation 13. Look for it. I think 11. But you, most of you know. I think 11. Then I say another beast coming. And he had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell in it to worship the beast, the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Go ahead. He performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he has granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lives. So there is going to be an image made to the beast, according to Revelation 13:14. Now, Prince Charles is the only person who has had the image made, and they wrote down Savior of the World. And the world is in confusion. A guy is there like drinking. You go and check out that thing. Eh? Like, you know, I think a bottle of alcohol or something. Eh? And he's like this, as if he's drinking mineral water. So, among other things. Then I also noticed that this guy, like his quietness, he's a very subtle, but very powerful man. in all the world conventions, and everything, nothing happens. The Oslo Agreement, the peace deal, which was between, I think, Bill Clinton and so on, the American. Guess who was there? Prince Charles. But quiet. He's always quiet. Even Chogam, he came here quiet, very quiet. He does everything of his quiet. The Chogam thing, the Queen comes amidst a lot of fanfare. He comes different. He cannot, you know those guys, they can't fly in the same plane. Eh? So, he comes alone. He comes, meets a few people here, some charitable causes. Phew, nobody even hears anything. And that's how he operates. But every world leader who goes to that country goes there to meet Prince Charles, not the Prime Minister of Britain, and not even the Queen. They go there to meet Prince Charles. But then there's something else. There's a strong rumor that the guy is a homosexual. And there's a guy who worked for him who says that he is. And the book of Daniel says the Antichrist will have no desire for women. Eh? You'll not consider the desire for women. Look for it. It's in Daniel chapter. So there is, and actually it is even rumored by that same, you know, these books have been written. Eh? Some, that same guy, that's what caused the separation between him and what? And Diana, Princess Diana. And that was the cause of the raucous. And then the man goes and marries a woman who is older than him after that. And then there are rumors that men are being, you know, channeled into the... And those things have actually even made their way in some of the British newspapers. But very hushed for obvious reasons. But they have made some... So when I consider some of these things, maybe next time, for those who are not around, we'll bring pictures and I show you. Because the last time I spoke, you remember I had pictures, eh? So maybe next time we'll bring pictures and you see the statue and all these things we are talking about. So I'm thinking, maybe. But this guy is very convincing because he has done research for so many years and he's actually a Jew. And he said, he shall regard neither the God of his forefathers nor the desire of women. What does that mean? What is the desire of women? What? No, what? Because... You know, when you're studying these things, you have to... Eh? What is the desire of women? Does it mean you will not have a desire for women? Is that what it means? Anyhow, you go and study. But me, I've told you, I was doing what? I was listening to this man and he has... By the way, that interview is on Sid Roth. You go and check it. It's on YouTube. It was live today when I was watching it. And I was just seated there and I decided to watch some things and I was watching this man talk. I've read the bits of the book, but there's a lot of deep, deep research which I didn't want to go through. But he had a table of his evidence. But the most convincing of it was the coat of arms. Because it has everything the Bible describes about this beast. And the coat of arms, when you become the heir, or even like Prince William, who would become king after Charles, has one. All of them, even the Queen, of course, has a coat of arms. That is the thing which they put there, which is symbolic of them. It's for the person. It's not for the kingdom, it's for a person. And it is designed for the person when they become the heir, or even the second heir. Now, Prince Charles's coat of arms is very curious. It has every, I would wish you'd just check it out and, you know, Google it and see. It has everything, a unicorn, you know, it says that the beast will come up and three other kings, you understand? Eh? He'll, some of you have not read these scriptures, but it's okay. But now I'm seeing that our end time thing is going to become a bit deeper right now. And we are going to go into some topics which I discussed earlier, but in a very top, you know, surface way, in which now we go a bit deeper into this end time thing, so that we are on the look at what is happening. Well, but while you were away, last year, the FCC in America, that controls the internet, passed a rule at the end of last year. Now, I'm telling you what, the end of last year, in which the top providers of the internet in the world, and they are just few, like six, have the power to cancel certain websites and certain blogs, YouTube, whatever, and all those things that are perceived to be anti-community, so-called fake news, and so on. So that means that there is a serious control of the internet which is coming, which none of you people know. Because the internet has flung open all the doors of news. So now you don't have to listen to CNN, none of these, the things that we read right now, nobody listens to that news of theirs. There is news elsewhere. And now there are so many Christian conservative organizations that have websites that give you real news of what affects you as a Christian and how the different news in the world affects Christians. Now they are the ones which are telling us different things, how Turkey has declared war on Christianity. And now that is news you're not going to get on these channels of theirs, which they control. Now they are going to control the internet as well. And then also while we're at it, this whole scam of Facebook taking your data, don't believe it. It is just a ploy. When all of that is over, they are going to come and regulate Facebook to remove things like our things. And now they will have the power to remove them. Now, even before the American lawmakers, that Kagai, what's he called? Zuckerberg, who used to say he does not put on suits until he put on one, because he was going to the Senate. And he looked like, you know, like a schoolboy in an oversized uniform. He said that at some stage, you would have to pay to be on Facebook. He said that before those lawmakers. So after they have created all this, can you imagine, for 2 weeks, Facebook stole data. Let me tell you this. Facebook gave data to Obama in 2012. And they went and campaigned door to door, knowing exactly what people want to hear. So if I'm going to campaign, let's say, to Reagan's house, I check his Facebook account, and then I come knowing exactly what I'm going to tell him, because I know how he thinks. Now, it's not news that they used data for a campaign. They did it in 2012. And actually, the same newspaper, The Guardian in England, broke the news, but it was not news. They actually said it is a great innovation by the great Barack Obama. Now, the same guys, now it is big news. They have stolen your data, 87 million people and what? Don't believe it. Facebook is their baby. They are not going to strangle their baby. This is going somewhere. And it is not what you think. Amen? Now, I'll tell you this. Have you heard that this Russian guy and his daughter who were poisoned? It was not by Russia. Like, just know these things. I learned it when, some time ago, a plane was hit over the disputed place in Ukraine, which was under the Russian rebels. The rebels were supported by Russia. And the plane was downed. And the whole world media, this is Russia. Russia has shot down a plane. How many people have died? Then, I realized that a certain prophet, earlier, actually T.B. Joshua, like a month earlier, said, Russia, be careful. Your enemies are going to shoot down a plane and they will blame it on you. Now, that's the power of prophecy. Because, like, now that blows open the whole deceit. Because either that guy was part of the people who shot down the plane, or he's... Yeah. So when I saw how the whole world media responded, Russia sanctions, what? I said, huh? Like, when you see something repeated over and over again, and all news channels agree on it, unless it's a natural event like an earthquake or what, don't believe it. Now, that's the first sign. Don't believe it. Now, for me, I immediately knew that guy was not poisoned by Russians. Then I discovered later the guy was a double agent. He was spying for Britain and spying for Russia. Then I discovered later that the man was apparently going to meet people from America to show them how the whole story of how Russia, you know, influenced the American elections, how it was fake and it was manufactured in Britain. Then the man is gassed and then it is Russia. Like, fake. Like, the world runs on lies. You understand? Eh? Like, there are people who know what is happening. Now, the other day, a man came and what? This guy, you know the philanthropist who died last year? David Rockefeller. You've heard that name. He's the grandson of John D. Rockefeller Sr., who was the man who owned almost all oil in America from the 1800s. And he was the son of John Rockefeller Jr. So he was the grandson of the original Rockefeller, that the man who made the name Rockefeller. Now, this guy died last year at the age of 101. But they control, now his grandfather, by the turn of the century, by the early 1900s, when now he owned almost 90% of the oil in America through, I think it was called National Oil or something like that, but it was broken eventually to Chevron, Texaco, and so on. So that guy, when they discovered that from the derivatives of oil, they can get so many things, chemicals, for instance, plastics. So this guy, when they discovered that they can make certain proteins from oil derivatives after the refining and so on, so he saw an opportunity. He controlled all the oil, and he saw that now, since a lot of the drugs are going to be made from oil derivatives, that was an opportunity for him. The only problem was, at that time, 100 years ago, doctors were not prescribing pills. They are describing diet, they are describing herbs, and things which they had picked from, actually many of them from Native Americans whom they found there, and from South America. And that was what medical schools were teaching. They were teaching things about diet, holistic, you know, and actually getting people cured, not suppressing symptoms. So now, when Rockefeller realized that, he knew that for him to, and then natural things cannot be patented. In other words, you cannot own it. But drugs can be patented and sold to people for a high profit. So he decided he was going to change the whole thing. So by the year, in 1910, he hired a man called Flexner, Abraham Flexner, who went and presented a paper before the Congress in America and told them that there are too many different medical schools and they are teaching different things and they are what, but remember, people were healthy at that time. They are teaching different things and so on. So he said, we have to homogenize the medical industry. And so he came up with what is called the Flexner Report. When the Flexner Report passed, everybody had to start teaching this medicine. We know, a pill for everything, a pill for one ill. Now, then half of the medical schools were closed. The other half, others were started to start teaching that. And the man himself, Rockefeller, gave a philanthropic donation of $100 million to the medical society. And guess who started the National Cancer Institute in America in 1913? John Rockefeller. Now, then he gives $100 million. The $100 million was to change the whole society and turn people into people who believe every sickness needs a pill. And guess who owns the pills? Them. Now, for them, when they see an opportunity, they see it for generations. He knows, if I can transform the way medicine is done, and it will take him 30 years, if I can transform the way medicine is done, then my children will be rich and my grandchildren forever. So he spends money, and they were spending money. And they, you know, the Carnegies, and because he went to Carnegie, the one who gave him the plot, changed the way medicine is taught. So now, universities which started teaching, medical schools started teaching, which insisted on teaching the old thing, were closed, and some doctors were even arrested for prescribing what is called homeopathy, okay? And other types of naturopathy and so all those sorts of things, which are not pill. Now, so by the 1940s, it had all been turned around. Now, we produce doctors who don't know a single thing about natural medicine. All they know is pills. They are only salesmen for the Rockefeller. So you go and come and say, I'm a doctor. You're just a salesman for the Rockefellers. That's what you were taught. So the guy, I'm suffering from this. Prescribe. And that's it. And now, all through, all these medicines were killed and the man became extra rich. And now you see people. Now, they'll tell you, those medicines which people used to have before, they cure sicknesses. These ones don't. Now, when you go to a doctor and you're suffering, and they test you, let's say, and you have high blood pressure. If you went to those former medicines, it would cure the high blood pressure, and that's it. You're gone for good. But now, you're a market, you know, your customer. So, they will give you those pills which suppress the pressure, but you'll never be cured. So, they see a customer for life. So you go with any sickness, they see a customer for life. They know you're going to have to work and pay them. So that's how they did it. And even all this, the whole drug, I wish you people went and saw how this drug thing is all spoiled. For instance, somebody was telling me the other day, they were reading that they were mixing chemicals to create a drug for something else. Then when they tried it on some people, they noticed that those people were getting an erection, which was lasting for very long. So they called the drug Viagra and now started selling it for what? But they were actually researching something else. Then you get it to try it on people, then you see, this one. So now they say, so this can also work here. So they get it, give it a different name, and give it to people who are in need of that. So they are just mixing chemicals and giving you mixing. And those chemicals, because they are from oil, they never really digest into your system. Unlike leaves and all those things. So they stay there. So the sickness industry is going to be very important for the Antichrist. Because after they've made everybody dependent on their medicines, now take the mark of the beast or you won't get medicine. Some people will say, I will neither buy nor sell. I will go and settle somewhere in the village. But what if you've been taking pressure medicine and you need it to survive? Then you come and say, Amen. You put your right hand. Do you understand? Even the food, all these things they're trying to control. Now, Facebook, the other day I was on Facebook and they were telling me that face recognition technology. Well, what? You've seen it? Total control. Like every single thing about yourself is going to be put on a database, and that is the Antichrist. From your financial things to everything. And that's what they are interested in. And they are tightening the screws mpola, but people don't notice. So you are giving what? You want this, you give this. You want give this information. Now, after some time, they have every information about you tied down into one system. And it is tied to a computer. Now, if you do not take the mark of the beast, you cannot do anything. You cannot have a job. You cannot buy. You cannot buy fuel. You cannot do nothing. You're completely emasculated. You cannot get medicine, which you need. Now, I told you the other time that even the medicines, they will start prescribing them and they are injected directly into your system through that kerchief which they put. So, when the doctor, it's like a standing order. But you see how convenient it is, A standing order for medicine. So every morning, because you have a chip in here, which is connected to a computer, they can actually have that thing put in your body without injecting it. Some of you are saying, how? How does that SIM card, with that SIM card you have, you call somebody in China? Like the amount of information that SIM card has in your phone. You understand? And yeah. So now, you have a chip, somebody has a chip in here, they tell you, no, if you need drugs for anything, if let's say you're CKRA visa, don't worry, just get the chip. The drugs will be administered on standing order basis. So every morning, they are painless, troubleless, you don't have to visit the doctor. Amen? So he just puts a standing order for the next 6 months. Regan is going to be on this medicine. So he presses, bam, and it starts renewing itself every day. But now, do you see how the whole world will say, man, this is convenient, this is nice, this is good, but it's the mark of the beast, and then whoever takes it is going to hell anyhow, cannot buy or sell. Praise the Lord. So this, they are tightening, pola, you wait, you'll see. By this time next year, even news itself, because they are saying they are fighting fake news. Now for us, what we know is fake news is their news. Now imagine if all you ever hear is what they are saying. Then you cannot even come here and preach like I'm doing. Because I go deep places to get some of these things out. All you hear is CNN, what, you know. And I go to those things just to, I can't stand CNN now any longer, absolutely. But I go to BBC just to get what they are doing. But not to get news. The news, I know where I get it from. But now they block all those other sites, block everything, block your access to everything. Now the only way to get it is fall in line with them and get the mark of the beast and become mindless like they do. Like you remember the other day, somebody was saying a dream where when you take it, people wouldn't know what they are doing. They just do things. They add an animal hybrid in you, which makes you not human, like the Nephilim, like it was in the days of Noah. Okay? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, aliens, have been abducting people and going and having sex with them, and they come back when they are pregnant. And then the scientists get that thing and mass produce it, that seed of the Nephilim, and mass produce it. Of, you remember in Genesis chapter 6, when it says the sons of God had, you know, had sex with women and gave birth to giants. So somebody goes and says, I was abducted. You've been reading, you know, alien abductions. There are now so many. I was abducted by an alien. Then the woman comes back pregnant with an alien. Then they get that seed, pull it out, mass produce it. And now they put it into that cathing thing, which they will be injecting in people. So you become a seed of Satan. Like those people were destroyed by the flood. That's why Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Where you're not entirely human. You've been put now. Who was telling me the other day? Actually, my wife was telling me. She went to some church and people were saying, we no longer take vaccines, you know. I said, I'm not going to vaccinate my child and what. So she was thinking, that is extreme. Why wouldn't you vaccinate whatever? So when she's thinking it's extreme, she goes home. And then she sleeps and has a dream. And in the dream, the doctor is telling her that, you know, you can change a whole generation of humanity by just putting these things in there. So what they were doing in the dream is this guy was injecting something in boys' scrotums. So they are injecting that stuff in young boys' scrotums. And that means changing their sperms. And that means changing generations. And you know, is that a long time ago? Is that a long time ago? Long time ago. So then, in girls, they are injecting different things to make them non-fertile. So somebody wants to have a child, cannot have a child. And so many years ago, you went for vaccination and they put an anti-fertility drug in you. Then you come, you get married, you wait for children, nothing. Fertility treatment, nothing. What? Nothing. Then you come here, we pray for you, get a child. Then their system is what? Is broken. Praise the Lord. As in, that's what it will need. Supernatural things. But the world, but it's confused. Like the scientific world, they discover things, they take them away. Now, if I told you the things that are happening in your world here, in a matter of 3 years, everything will have changed. They introduce to you knowledge. For instance, anything that does not fit into the Darwinian theory of evolution, they pull it back, because they have to pump that Darwinian thing. And now you find people saying, me, I believe in science, but my doctor told me to do what and what. Your doctor is a salesman for Rockefeller. The difference between him and these salesmen who are selling, you know, shoes on the road, is that for him he puts on a tie and a white coat. But otherwise he's a salesman. They don't know anything about real medicine. Now somebody is going to teach people real medicine. Amen? And some guy was telling me his grandmother knew every herb. He was born with very strong asthma. Very strong asthma. She said, don't worry, I'm going to sort you. Now you see, the Western medicine will never give you a cure. It will just make you dependent. It will give you a suppression. So that you keep on coming. Now this one, he told me she went, got meat, boiled it in certain herbs, and did what? Then she mixed, then she told him, now you're going to eat this meat, you're going to vomit. Like the whole night, but in the morning you'll be okay. He vomited, in the morning he's okay. He was a young boy, now he's 40 years, he has never had asthma. Like, those drugs, those things are here. God made everything we need in this world. You understand, eh? But those guys have messed us up. Now you're going to wise up. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Mukama yevaziwe. Hallelujah.
That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780-292-555 or +256-755-292-555. The Watchman, the King is coming.